meant I hope you checked your settings beforehand, because we're doing this in one take, because it's late and I had a long day. Hey everyone, it's Guys Talking Into a Mic. It's a podcast about a book. I don't know who I am, and I'm talking to a guy who presumably knows who he is and who I am. How's it going?
Nailed it. You nailed that one take. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Words About Books. I'm Ben. You're Nate.
Okay.
We're talking Murder, She Wrote. I don't know. Who's editing this one?
You. I'm doing Hellhole, unfortunately.
Okay. I will make sure to put the Murder, She Wrote intro music at the cost of a copyright claim. I don't care. They deserve the money for this one.
Okay. I know of Murder, She Wrote. That's about it.
We're covering Murder, She Wrote, Gin and Daggers by Jessica Fletcher and Donald Bain. So tell me everything you know about Murder, She Wrote before you read this.
It's about a novelist who writes murder mysteries and also solves them.
That's right.
And apparently she is the most attractive woman
she does all right
ever was.
She does all right. I don't really want to hear you criticizing Jessica Fletcher's appearance. She was Mrs. Potts. She sang that song in that movie. Probably a couple songs.
She sang that song in that movie. All right. And, I'll take your word that these are things that happened. And
she does very well with middle-aged men, as she
good
should.
Good for her.
She's a catch. So, pop quiz, where is Jessica Fletcher? Where does she live?
Cabot Cove, Maine, Ben.
You're doing great.
Is that where the cheese comes from? The Cabot cheese?
I've never heard of Cabot cheese.
Wow. Wow.
I don't eat your fancy rich man cheese. I live in an
rich
apartment.
Man cheese. You buy it by the brick at the grocery store.
I only have American cheese. I only eat cheese that undergoes a chemical process to turn water into
cheese.
A solid.
It's cheese product is what that
it's
is.
It's cheese. It's just emulsified with water.
I don't know. Read the packaging. Does it say cheese or does it say cheese product?
It says cheese product, but that... okay, you're getting into the deep lore here, but like, it says cheese product.
Deep lore of cheese.
It says cheese product, but it starts with cheddar. The cheese product thing is from the dairy lobbyists who are trying to undermine the cheaper American cheese. Also, American cheese is terrible. I'm not really going to die on this hill.
Yeah, I'm like, it's pretty awful. if I want a grilled cheese sandwich, that's about it.
Yeah, otherwise, no, I was going to say, maybe like a cheeseburger, like a bad cheeseburger.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I've ordered a bad cheeseburger before. That, like, I was in the mood.
Yeah, like, I don't want Five Guys experimenting, you know?
Right.
Anyway. Yeah, Jessica Fletcher, she's from Cabot Cove. Can you name either of the sheriffs of Cabot Cove?
I thought there was a sheriff and there was a doctor.
In this book, yes. But in the first three seasons of Murder, She Wrote, Tom Bosley was a sheriff.
Tom Bosley Dill.
Good one.
Metzger, I'm pretty sure, is...
Morton Metzger. You gotta say the whole thing.
I only remember Metzger because she says, "Elementary, my dear Metzger." And my comment was, oof.
That may be literally the only time she didn't say Morton Metzger.
Oh, also, Oriental Woman. Double.
Ooh, yeah. No, that was, yeah. I did notice that.
I was like, ooh,
Yeah, we don't say that anymore. And I don't, this is an older book, and by older I mean 1989.
Okay, so I thought this was 90s, but okay. I mean,
no, just close. Barely. January 1st, 1989. I don't know if that's
still Ronald Reagan. unfortunately.
My history with Murder, She Wrote, my mother watched it, my grandmother watched it, and I think the last time I was in town, it was on TV at my grandma's house, and I had her turn it up because I became unintentionally invested in the plot of Murder, She Wrote, which is what happens every time I watch Murder, She Wrote. I don't know why I like it, but every time it's on, I wind up like just casually paying attention to it, and then by the end, I'm just like, that dude did it. And it's usually Scooby-Doo rules. I mean, it's like the only other guy in the show.
Right.
Who could have done it. But yeah, I don't know. I like Murder, She Wrote. Donald Bain, about the author. Don't know anything about him.
Nice. Glad you did your research.
Bam. Yeah, well, so I'm going to tell you why I put this on, this podcast. This was a Patreon pick, right?
Oh, yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, and I suggested this one for the poll. And I forget what your theme you presented to me was, but for some reason I picked only TV
like
books.
Adaptations. Yeah, something like that. Like,
book adaptations of not book things.
Yeah.
Like a reverse adaptation. So I went with like a bunch of old TV shows. I think I went with like Charmed, Star Trek, and...
I put the Star Trek up.
What was the other one I picked? Charmed. I don't know.
If
but
you
anyway, Murder, She Wrote One.
Hop on over to our Patreon.
Yeah, hop on over to Patreon and you can suggest themes if you want. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel here. But the reason I thought of Murder, She Wrote is because my grandmother is in her 90s. She does not see so well, but she's otherwise doing pretty well. So we got her into audiobooks. She was listening to Agatha Christie's stuff, but she also doesn't hear so good. So the British accents in Agatha Christie were tripping her up. So we're like, well, maybe Murder, She Wrote will work. And anyway, like on my Amazon account, there's, 15 Murder, She Wrote books now. Because my grandmother is chewing through audiobooks.
Oh, that the other book on there was that shitty Avengers book by Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah. You're determined to read that.
Yeah, but it keeps failing, and it's not worth a book pick to me, so, like, it's just never going to happen.
That's my goal. I don't know why you want to read it. Do you like the Ant-Man movies?
No, I don't.
I don't even think I've seen one.
I saw the first one, and then the other two, even though the second one was in between two major Avengers films, I could not bring myself to care.
I saw the Avengers movie where Ant-Man popped out of the van, and I didn't know why he was in the van, but it had also been like 15 years for him. And I didn't
like
know
five
why.
Years, but you know.
His daughter's old now. He
his
missed
daughter
all
was
that time.
Dusted, I think. I don't know. Ben, I don't know or care about Ant-Man, but like there's a book.
Neither do the fans.
Neither do the fans.
You're in line with your audience then, finally. But yeah. So yeah, Donald Bain, I don't know who this guy is. He writes all of these though. Or most of them.
That's not true. Jessica Fletcher writes them all, Ben. She's the real hero.
Let's talk about that. So I had a patron actually ask me if this was supposed to be a book by Jessica Fletcher, a book about Jessica Fletcher, or like just an episode of the show, to which the answer is yes.
Yes.
It's in the first person. It is Jessica Fletcher writing her experience.
Oh my god, all these books, at least the first several, have that blank and blank as the title.
Oh.
Manhattans and murder. That doesn't even... Okay, I guess that's a drink. Rum and razors. Brandy and bullets. Martinis and mayhem.
And that's a thing in the book.
Yes.
I didn't even put that together until just now. I'm going to be kind of honest with you. I pulled a Nate on this one. I bought the book, and I was reading like the airport paperback of this, which is probably the only format it was ever printed in.
There's a second edition of this book, Ben. In 2000, there was a second edition of Gin and Daggers. Also, I was looking at this, and I was like, it looks like he stopped publishing after 2018. I wonder what happened. Oh. Yeah, he's dead. He's super dead.
Yeah, if you're a big Donald Bane fan, unfortunately, this is probably you finding out he has passed. But I kept calling this book, I just was telling people I'm reading Murder, She Wrote, because A, that's the easiest way to explain it, and B, on the cover, Murder, She Wrote is huge, and Gin and Daggers is tiny.
Like, Murder, She Wrote also doesn't have that sweet alliteration.
Well, neither does Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, but the Manhattans and murder and rum and razors, brandy and bullets, martinis and mayhem. You gotta have the alliteration, bro.
Yeah, they used M twice.
Yeah, vodka and victory.
Gin and jumping off a cliff.
Also, why was it a plural, Ben? There was only one dagger. I feel like I was cheated. I want my money back.
Getting back to the content of the book, I guess.
Absolutely not.
This is a book written in the first person, ostensibly by Jessica Fletcher. She is writing about her own experience of solving a murder.
Of who I thought was an Agatha Christie knockoff, but then they mentioned Agatha Christie and I was confused, Ben.
Jessica Fletcher, here's the plot of this book. She is going to London because we don't have to pay to shoot in London. It's a book. Jessica can go wherever she wants now. We could blow something up if we wanted to. We could blow up a historic London landmark. We're not going to because Jessica shows restraint. Anyway, she does get attacked with a sword. That's not very restraint.
Apparently, if you are insane, you can just be released back out onto the street to go try and murder people with your sword.
Their judges wear wigs, Nate. How serious can they be? Their lawyers wear wigs. Everybody wears wigs. It's so dumb. Their whole justice system is a sham. Anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway. Jessica is going to London. She's attending a writer's conference, a mystery writer's conference.
Yeah.
And this is where we find out that Jessica Fletcher is the second greatest mystery writer in the world, at least of her era. Like, Jessica Fletcher is the... We haven't really had a great mystery writer. I'm sorry, James Patterson. You kind of suck. I don't even know. Who do you think the best mystery writer today is?
Who?
It could be Jessica Fletcher.
Give me a moment. Give me a few years. I'll release my magnum opus. Harlan Coben?
I think of a couple, but I don't know. Tell me your favorite mystery writer that's alive and writing. Anyway.
Kevin J. Anderson. It's a mystery as to how people continue to give him money. Every book. I still haven't solved that mystery, and I've read several of his works by this point. I'm like, wow.
But, yeah, so Jessica's only the second best. The best is a lady whose name I forget. Marjorie Ainsworth?
Yes. Ainsworth? I'm going to say Ainsworth.
Okay.
That's Agatha Christie, but not really.
It's Agatha Christie circa 1989. Though, honestly, this lady was alive at the same time as Agatha Christie and maybe talked to her. She's old, though. Okay, she's old. She's dying. She's maybe even losing it.
Yeah, she's going in and out.
And she has just released what could well be her final book, her magnum opus, Gin and Daggers. So Gin and Daggers is an instant hit. And she is like one of Jessica Fletcher's best friends. She invites Jessica out to her mansion while Jessica's in London. Like, before the conference, Jessica checks into her hotel, which was name-dropped so often that I wondered if they somehow sponsored the book. What was the hotel?
That's funny, because I do remember it being name-dropped, and I just kept ignoring it, and now I
don't remember. This doesn't work on me.
I don't remember.
Your brand recognition doesn't work.
We're gonna call it a Marriott. Sponsor us.
Oh man, Jessica Fletcher does not stay at a Marriott. Okay, though I would be lucky to. I stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
Jesus, the set they're, Savoy. They're fine.
The Savoy
Hotel.
Yeah. Look, a Holiday Inn Express, I think I've said this before on the podcast, and you can feel free to sponsor me anytime you want, Holiday Inn Express. It's the McDonald's of hotels.
You know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting. It's not fancy, but there's no risk. And that's the kind of man I am. Not fancy, no risk.
The Savoy looks pretty fancy.
Yes.
It looks like several buildings and like a shopping district. And wow.
Needless to say, Jessica Fletcher and I do not stay in the same hotels. So she's going to check in. She's going to drive out to hang out with Marjorie. And Marjorie, she's a sassy old gal. She just tells people what she thinks, but she loves
Jessica.
It's
called being old. You stop caring and you just start letting things slip and you've got no filter. Like when my... grandparent-in-laws, my daughter's great-grandparents, mentioned that my daughter was getting fat, and she was like 2 years old, and we were like, well, that's the last time you're going to see your great-grandparents. Wave goodbye. You'll see them at their funeral.
What was it the last time?
Yeah, I haven't seen them since. Wow. We both agreed. My wife and I were like, yeah, that was bullshit. Fuck him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a... I've obviously seen pictures of your daughter because everybody who knows you personally has seen plenty of pictures of your daughter. You are one of those parents.
I'm unironically becoming Major Hughes from Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, and I will say, your daughter just looked like a baby.
Yeah.
That's insane. if they think that kid was fat, then they malnourished their children.
Yeah. Yeah. You're supposed to have kind of a rounder tummy when you're that young.
Yeah, that's where the organs are.
Yeah. Yeah.
They all got to fit in like 6 inches. She's carrying significant organ weight. Can we get that down? Oh, God. I think she has fatty liver. This liver's making her fat.
Jesus. So that's Marjorie
That's the kind of thing. Yeah, that's the kind of thing Marjorie Ainsworth would say. But she loves Jessica Fletcher because Jessica's cool. Everybody loves Jessica Fletcher because Jessica Fletcher's cool. But so, yeah, Marjorie's calling people fat, telling them they're stupid, talking about, you know, how smelly her niece is. She wears a lot of perfume. I knew that was going to be relevant. I knew there was going to be a room that smelled of this lady's perfume as soon as they mentioned she wore a lot of perfume. So I immediately suspected her. And unsurprisingly, perhaps, someone stabs Marjorie Ainsworth. Shortly into this party,
Jessica's the one who discovers her. Like, she hears something in the middle of the night. It goes like, "Oh, you're looking a little plump." Ah!
What's your fat ass doing in my room?
Life's Jessica,
the heaviest thing you've lifted in a month.
Just multiple stabbings, but the book was very tame, and she omitted, it was just one clean stab. But in real life, it was just, you couldn't even recognize where her chest was because of all the stab wounds. And she
wrote a note in her own blood. "You stab like a bitch." It wasn't that
oh,
fun.
Oh god. Oh god. No, but dude, I'm tired, so like anything will get me. So
oh man.
So Jessica's like, "I'm gonna go call the police." But on the way out, she kicks her shoe onto something metallic that later is found out to be Jessica's necklace that was given to her by her deceased husband. What was that doing in that room, Ben?
What was her deceased husband's name for bonus points?
Frank.
Damn straight, it was Frank.
Yeah.
Jessica's gonna be romancing a lot of the handsome middle-aged men in this, but she never forgets about Frank.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got like three different detectives for some reason. One of which is no four. Four if you want to count the other Scotland Yard person, but we've got this Crump was his name, maybe? I don't know. Croup.
He's a country bumpkin detective who gets it wrong immediately, and everybody hates him.
Yeah.
And he's also kind of a media hound.
Yeah. He's gonna solve the murder mystery of our beloved treasure, Mary Ainsworth. And it was probably Jessica, because she dropped that evidence. Like, after she was done stabbing Mary, she's like dropped her pendant in the room, and then later went back in the room and reported the murder, I guess. Case closed.
Jessica's cold, calculating. This guy's like, he shows the pendant. He's like, "We found this in the room." She's like, "Oh, that's my pendant." He's like, "Ah, so you admit it."
Yeah.
She's like, "We got you. Yeah, can I have it back?"
Yeah, you can have it back once you sign this form that admits that you murdered Mary.
She's like, "Well, based on my investigation, I think only the killer could have left this pendant. And she's like, "Well, I don't care. Give it back."
Well, that's probably true, but it wasn't me, so...
Jessica is immediately suspected of the crime. He tells the press that she's the key suspect. And she never, for one second, even once, bothers paying that any serious mind.
And no one else does either. Like, the media's all over her, but, like, no one is seriously planning on arresting her.
Yep. And she's like, she even says to the detective, she's like, "Maybe you could call Scotland Yard?" And he's like, "This is my jurisdiction." But he said it all British, so you couldn't understand him.
Oh, wait, no, he's not the guy with the Cockney accent. That's the private detective.
So he's like, no, he's got one of those.
"Oi, governor, my jurisdiction.
This what here is my jurisdiction."
What?
What? "You having a laugh?" They say that a lot. Laugh means joke in British.
Yeah.
But fortunately, Scotland Yard does get involved. I think almost entirely because the Scotland Yard detective would like to take Miss Fletcher out for dinner.
Yeah. And he acted cold towards her at the funeral later. And I just assume that's because he's trying to be professional? Is that what we ended up deciding?
I
can't become attached to my suspects.
Yeah,
but
he did
also,
say that.
Also, how about we's have ourselves a... romp in the hay, mate.
He doesn't. And if he did, Jessica would have dumped his ass so fast. That is not how you approach Jessica Fletcher. He takes her out to dinner three times, tasteful three times, and they agree to meet again at the trial of a young man whose life they're both about to ruin as an excuse to hook up. But we're not there yet. So, yeah, the race is on. Jessica has to solve the crime to, free herself because she is trapped in London, unable to return to America as long as she is a suspect, which is every American's worst nightmare.
Yeah, are you paying for my stay? Because if you're not paying for my stay, I'm going home.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking that.
You know where to find me.
Yeah.
In America, a.k.a. the better part of the world.
Yeah, look.
Look.
I mean, they could. They could be paying for the Savoy.
Nah, you know that. You know they'd put her in a Holiday Inn Express if they were the ones paying.
I honestly don't know. I
assume so.
You never see one in like the background.
Holiday
like
Inn Express London.
Wow, they've
got several. They've got 29 of these in London. Wow. 3-star hotels, Ben. Free breakfast and a bar with free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I mean that. You know what you're getting. Like,
you know what you're getting.
I will say, I don't. I might spring for a Marriott if I was going to London.
Yeah, right. You don't want to go to a fucking Holiday Inn Express. You're overseas. You're already blowing through money like it's going out of style. You know, you go for the Marriott.
I don't know the conversion rates. I can pretend I'm not spending as much as I think I am.
There you go.
I wish I had the, good looks and sultry feminine wiles of Jessica Fletcher, because then I would never have to pay for dinner. I could just get taken out by a revolving door of middle-aged gentlemen. So many that they are constantly fighting over my time, and I have to pick. My dance card's quite full, boys. You're going to have to pencil in some time.
A lot of this book was, hey, I really need to talk with you. Well, I'm kind of busy tonight and tomorrow. How about you go 2 days out? They're like, okay, but it's about that murder mystery of your dead friend of which you are the prime suspect. Yep, I can't hear you. I'm too busy going to dinner with another man. Bye. See you in 2 days.
I'm too busy going to dinner with my lawyer, who you should be talking to, Mr. Scotland Yard. I did find out, though, that Mr. Scotland Yard is a recurring character in the books. Don't think he was in the show. I don't think Jessica had a love interest in the show. But I like that. I like that addition. It adds a depth and stakes. I did think it was funny when at a certain point, after hearing that Jessica Fletcher is suspected of murder, and then that she was speaking at a conference and a crazy person who was a Marjorie Ainsworth fan attacks her with a sword, the two other characters from the show fly out to London to make an appearance, Morton Metzger and the doctor, I forget his name.
Dr. Leon Trotsky.
Leon Trotsky. Morton Metzger and Leon Trotsky fly out to save Jessica Fletcher.
I like how they don't really do anything at all.
No, they're literally just there for the fans. It's a cameo in a book.
Every time you say this, I'm just reminded of the first episode we did, which was the Thrawn episode, and Obi-Wan has to go to the afterlife, and you're like, it's a book, you don't have to pay Alex Guinness to show up.
Well, you certainly don't have to pay whoever the hell played Morton Metzger to show up. And unless you give me the Tom Bosley one, bring him back from the dead. It's a book. Even as a kid, I think I just called him Tom Bosley. I don't think I ever knew the character's name. And I'm just sitting here trying to think. I'm like, why as a child did I know who Tom Boxley was?
Oh, I looked up his name. It's because his name is stupid, Ben. Tom Bosley's a much better name than Sheriff Amos Tupper or Tupper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tom Bosley. Tom Bosley's his name.
Yeah. But then, so they're there. Doesn't help. Jessica gets a call from, or like, not a call, like the lady walks up to her at dinner, which is very rude. Never do that to famous people. Or any people. No one wants to talk to you. So anyway, this lady walked up to her at dinner and was like, "Miss Fletcher, I need your help. My lover, that guy who was at the party with you, Jason, he wrote Gin and Daggers. Marjorie's taking credit for it. He was paid a pittance for his incredible writing." And it turns out that the book, it is reading... Jason Harris. It is reading a lot like someone else wrote it. It doesn't sound like Marjorie's usual stuff. And this girl, she always shows up. She's very dramatic. She cries a lot. She's, you get the vibe that Jessica, you know, she these young girls these days, they're all about the, they have the sex too early, you know, and they, she shouldn't be living with a man she's not married to.
Yeah. You know? You need to have 3 dates first and then you can get 2 kisses on the hand. All right. And then you gradually ramp up from there until you're married, and then you can have the sex one time on your marriage night, and then to have children after that, God intended.
But Jessica reminds herself that, you know, you shouldn't judge. Jessica is the perfect combination of prudish older lady, but also too polite to ever think anything truly negative about anyone. And that's why I think that's actually the balance they strike that I think makes her so cool and why I wind up watching all these Murder, She Wrote episodes. Because, like, I doubt Jessica Fletcher and I agree on literally anything.
Other than what a cougar Jessica Fletcher is. Got it.
But she'd be fun to hang out with. I don't know. That's all I can say. If I found out Jessica Fletcher was up for murder, I'd have to come to her defense. She should run for president.
Yeah.
Is Angela Lansbury still alive? She should run for president. Anyone.
2022, she passed away.
Damn it. She was just old enough.
She was just old enough.
She had just made the cut. But anyway, so Jessica talks to this lady, and the lady makes a compelling argument. And then Jessica winds up investigating the seedy underbelly of London. She has to,
which is very seedy.
The original manuscript is with a pornographer
who for is some his reason. Stepbrother.
And it's not like a stepbrother, it's like a legitimate stepbrother. Despite the fact that he's in pornography, he's actually somebody's stepbrother. And there's even a joke. I didn't take notes, as you can probably tell, but I did mentally note that she walks up to the guy's office and he's interviewing strippers, and it's all these like hot ladies, and she's trying to talk to him, and he walks out of his office and she's like, "Excuse me, I'm Jessica Fletcher, blah, 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 blah." And he's like, "Okay, I don't know what this is. I don't know if you have a gimmick or something, but like, I can't work with this."
That's because you're a shitty agent, by the way. You have to work with what you're given, bro.
You'd know.
Anyway.
And then she winds up going in there. And then she's in there for a long time talking to him about his brother's manuscript and all this stuff. And he tells the same story. He's like, "My brother definitely wrote that. There's all these like secret names and stuff hidden that prove he used references to his own life throughout that Marjorie Ainsworth wouldn't have known. And if we can just find the original manuscript, it'll prove everything." Yeah. And then Jessica Fletcher walks out, and all of the strippers who are waiting to be interviewed are looking at Jessica Fletcher like, what the hell was she doing in there for so long? And Jessica turns to them and goes, I have a gimmick, and walks out. And I was like, that's how I need to approach life. That's what I need. I need to roll with the punches as hard as Jessica Fletcher rolls with the punches. She's sitting there in the most uncomfortable situation, just cracking jokes. I think we could all learn from that.
I've learned nothing.
There's also a skeevy detective who wants to, like, he's a private detective, and he wants to help out with the case. He wants to help Jessica solve it. He figures Jessica didn't do it, but she can probably figure out who does. And she wants to be there, or he wants to be there when she solves it, and so he can get a little of the credit. And she does wind up employing him. He's kind of like a lovable scamp. A little bit of an underdeveloped character. There's a few too many detectives on the case.
There's a random detective later for the James's body, Ben. But yeah,
that's right.
We're talking about the private detective.
Yeah. The private detective, he lives on the wrong side of the tracks.
He has a Cockney accent. Even I know that means he is a lesser.
Could you give me an example of a Cockney accent?
Hey, mate. Bangers and mash. Fish and chips, governor. Oi.
I don't know any of the slang. That's where I'm stuck. Like, I know the general quality sausage of the voice. Roll. Sausage roll. Is that something they say?
That's a street food, Ben. It's sausage that they rolled in dough. Anyway, yeah, he's the wrong side of the tracks. He's got a Cockney accent. He's gonna... he's gonna make an appointment. And then he's gonna get rescheduled. And then he's gonna get, he's gonna follow, what's her nuts, Jessica, and get discovered following her. And then he's like, maybe we should team up, I'll do it for free, get you off the hook even though you don't care, and like, you just give me the credit, you give me part of the credit. And then she's like, yeah, maybe I should do that, but everyone keeps telling her, like, he's bad news, like, yeah. He's bad.
He
news
works for he has a exposure. Cockney
accent. Yeah.
I don't care how bad news he is. It's that or a lawyer of some kind. But yeah, Jessica, she has dinner with Scotland Yard a couple of times. He's pretty handsome and on the ball. She eventually attends the reading of Marjorie's will, finds out she inherited a bunch of money. Which makes her even more of a suspect, but again, she doesn't care or pay attention to that. We also find out that Marjorie Ainsworth had a secret lover and used her will as an opportunity to once more insult everyone she knew and loved.
Yeah. Also, so, James is dead. Did we mention that? He's dead, Ben.
Jason is dead.
Jason. You said James. My bad. Jason Harris.
Actual author of Gin and Daggers, maybe. And also Jessica's main suspect.
His throat was slashed, and he was beaten so badly you couldn't even tell, and then he was thrown into a river.
And Jessica herself has to look at this body. Now, who ID'd the body? Well, it was the stepbrother. That's interesting. So Jessica herself takes a look at the body. And what she sees is a mound of flesh, something so grotesque and disheveled, and just the skull was beaten from a skull shape to a kind of like pancake and then mixed around real good so that like no one could ever know. Also, they might have like cut his hands off. And the teeth are obviously smashed, and it's 1989, so no one knows what DNA is. So,
the officer in charge was like, "Yeah, but he said it was his brother." So, like, agreed. I look, I'm on break. Can you come back later? I got a lot of Got a lot of napping to catch up on.
Can you come back? Never. So yeah, no, Jason, he's obviously not dead. And I think this is where we're going to go. Probably at this point, I knew exactly what happened. You, the listener, probably doesn't know exactly what happened because we haven't been describing it very well.
Hey, but I've been here trying my best.
That's all we can do, Nate. We got to try our best every day. We got to try our best every day to talk about books. And one day,
yeah,
we'll figure it out.
We'll die? Oh, okay.
Or all that, right. Whichever comes first. Would you believe we've been doing it for 5 years? This is all about experience. Everything we've done has built up to this.
I do believe.
So, my theory of the crime was obviously Jason's not dead. I don't know if I knew at this point who exactly did it, because everybody has a little bit of a motive. There's a lot of financial stuff going on. The thing I still hadn't figured out yet is they set up Chekhov's perfume in the beginning, and we still had not had a payoff on why that lady smells so strongly. So I was waiting for that, which meant, yeah, metagaming a little. They wouldn't have mentioned she was so smelly if her scent was not going to come up later. So Jessica gets another call. The Jason's girlfriend is like upset again. She has to deal with this girl a couple of times. At first, I thought Jessica was being a little judgmental towards the girl, but like by the third or fourth time she calls, I'm like, you don't have to answer anymore, Jess. But she calls Jessica. They get pizza or something, and they're like, the girl's like, look, Miss Fletcher, okay, Jason's a really good writer.
She was also punched in the face by Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, like, Jane, where the, Jane... that's where the scent came in. Why did Jane yeah. punch you? I fell down some stairs. Okay, but like, I can smell her perfume.
I can smell her clearly... fist on your face.
Yeah.
You're turning black and blue, and you have a distinct floral aroma seeping out of your blood.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, she's also like really kind of half-assing it. Like, Jess, no, Jason wrote the manuscript.
He is a great writer. He released a bunch of books. He wrote four other books. You don't even understand. He wrote Burgundy and Blood. It's gonna come out later, and then yeah.
He wrote Absinthe and Aardvarks. That one gets gross.
Why aren't we mystery writers, Ben? We could do.
I've told you before, because that means we have to sit down and write, which is way harder than what we do here. That said, if you want to write Absinthe and Aardvarks, I would be willing to do that as a Patreon exclusive. It can be a sequel. It can be a sequel to whatever the hell your Chad Dingleton thing was called.
Extra sensual perception, Ben.
Yes. Absinthe and Aardvarks. Extra sensual perception, too. You don't want to know where that aardvark goes. So, yeah. Jessica, she returns to Marjorie Ainsworth's house. She sits in her office. She absorbs the general mystique of Marjorie. And she finds, through a series of clues, who Marjorie's secret lover was. And she calls him...
Gasp! Oh, yeah, at the will, they mentioned a secret lover.
Yeah. And it turns out that it was Marjorie.
Yeah, you know... Wait, what?
It was Marjorie who hid clues in the manuscript.
Yeah, they didn't change one of the names, and then, like, in the yellow pages, the yellow pages, you remember those?
I think he's in the white pages, because he's a private citizen.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I don't know how England works, though.
She's like, wait a minute, what is this, Governor? And why do I recognize that name? Wait a minute.
She tries to blend in. Oi, what, mate?
And then she goes and has a talk with the doctor. Now, maybe it's just me, but like, or maybe this is a British thing. Maybe you're allowed to have sex with your patients in Britain and not be brought up on charges, right?
I think he was just a doctor.
I guess. I hope so.
Otherwise, he's going to jail.
We'll put that old asshole in jail and take away his license.
He's the only one that goes to jail. No, that would be if it was an American police investigation. So I guess, you know, I was kind of unclear on this. So I guess the logic here is that Jason really didn't do any serious work on the book, and that Marjorie Ainsworth just happened to write a philosophically distinct novel. Like, all the differences people were noticing, that was that she just changed her writing style at the end of her life.
Or they were making some subtle edits throughout, because she was dictating this all to Jane.
But people said it was her best book yet. So I guess the implication... Well, no, because Jessica, at the end, she's like, Marjorie definitely wrote this manuscript. But I was still a little unclear on that. I don't think we definitively proved that she did, unless Jessica had the actual original manuscript.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, fortunately, Jessica, through all of her middle-aged man connections, she manages to surprise the villains in their secret villain party where they have all gathered together to eat dinner and cackle about how well their plan went.
Yeah, because she announces that she's going to make an announcement about the book, about who really wrote the book.
True authorship of Gin and Daggers.
Yeah, and one of the public... The two of the publishers are like, oh my god, you can't do that. Our money! And the other guy was like, look, Marjorie Ainsworth, she's a big deal. We don't want to undermine trust in books, because I don't know about you, but there's a thing called the internet coming. People aren't going to give a shit. We already have Nintendos, okay? People already don't give a shit about books, alright? And, you know, in like 30 plus years.
Tucker Carlson has written like 3 books. No one cares about books.
Yeah, in 30 plus years, some assholes are going to have a podcast about books. It's just going to be awful, okay? So, like, we don't want to undermine trust in books even more so than has already happened. And here's another thing. That guy, Jason.
Jason Harris.
He sucks. He sucks. He's fucking garbage. Here are the manuscripts. Here's one of the manuscripts for Blood and Burgundy or whatever. And it's fucking garbage. Read it over.
Jason Harris is the worst writer I've ever seen. Check this out. Hands her Ready Player 2. She's like, oh my god.
Oh my god, he really was terrible.
But yeah. They're all trying to talk her out of it, and Jessica's like, I've quite made up my mind, gentlemen. Now, if you would please leave my hotel room that I did not invite you to. I don't know who let you in.
Lucas. Lucas Darling keeps dropping the dime on everything. What Lucas, a jackass.
Not, Lucas, I, and this is the tone of her relationship with Lucas, by the way. You're not invited either. I don't know how you keep getting into this room. But you, Lucas, need to go.
Lucas, you are the least attractive man that is currently after my affections. Go away. I need to also I need to reschedule our dinner date because I have literally anything else to do. Let's reschedule tomorrow so I can cancel on you again tomorrow.
Lucas actually does get in line. He has filled out his position on Jessica's dance card, and she erases it. She's just like, oh, I could go out with Lucas, or I could hike around the seedy parts of London with Jason Harris's side piece. Well, sorry, Lucas. I guess I gotta go get mugged, which happens.
It does happen.
She gets mugged by a punk rocker.
Luckily, they wrap that.
This is
that they wrap that loose end up as if they needed to.
That's how every episode of Murder, She Wrote ends. It all ends on some weird joke like that. That was very Murder, She Wrote. You know what else I didn't notice? And if you're still listening, God bless you. I didn't know that there was a comma in Murder, She Wrote until I read this book.
Murder, She Wrote.
It's Murder, She Wrote. I don't know what I thought it was. This is one of those things that show's just been around since I was a kid, and I'd always just said it like it was just one word, Murder, She Wrote. And now I know it's Murder, She Wrote.
But yeah, they go to the evil villain party, Ben. And they're like, Jane, I knew that you killed Marjorie because you punched, you punched that actress in the fucking face. So that's how I knew you were prone to angry outbursts. And I distinctly remember her calling you a porker or something the night of the murder. you all conspired to inflate the value of a book because you're so dumb. Are you, like, seriously? Books? You're investing in books of a dead author? James... Jason, whatever your dumb name is, what was your plan? Were you just going to remain out of the public eye for the rest of your life?
No.
What was your plan?
Yeah, that is a good point. What was his plan?
What are you going to do? Just like jump out from behind a podium and be like, I was alive all along.
I think it's 19. So he had already written like 3 books that they were going to publish posthumously. Because he actually wrote Gin and Daggers. So they weren't just trying to inflate the value of Gin and Daggers. They were trying to inflate the value of 3 additional manuscripts.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, the publishing industry strongly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter if Colleen Hoover's latest book is bad. It's going to sell. No one even reads them.
Yeah, and then what is James going to do?
James is going to get a new identity. He's going to become Jimmy Hairball, London cab driver.
You know what I would do? You know what I would do if I were one of his conspirators? I would shoot him in the face because he's already dead, and then I'd just pocket the money. That's right, it's a double cross.
Ah, but that didn't happen because Jane was legitimately in love with him.
And God damn it, Jessica's what the fuck is his name? He's so Jason. Jason, so charming.
Well, this is what Jessica says. And this is, again, Jessica just smooth as jazz. She's like, why'd you do it, Jane? Why would you go? I knew you didn't like her. But why would you go so far as to stab her? And Jane's like, because I would have lost him if I didn't. And Jessica's like, oh, you poor incel cuck. I've known a million women like you. Oh, you live all in like alone. You're a spinster.
This is like her first, her first like real relationship.
It's your first boyfriend. You're 29. It's so sad.
29? Really? I pictured her as in like her 30s or 40s.
Okay, I'm being generous. Okay, you're in your late 30s.
You're in the twilight of your life, and you haven't.
You
ever
might
had
as
it.
Well just keel over and die because you will never, ever have what I have, which is the hottest middle-aged men in all of Britain, up in your hotel room at all hours. Now, Jane, I feel sorry for you, but you know what? The law's the law. But you, Jason Harris, I don't feel sorry for you. And though you're both probably going to get the death penalty, which I don't think they have in London because they're weak. Do we have the death penalty?
Some states do.
Hey, yeah, Jessica just tells them all off. But before she tells them all off, the important thing I want you to remember is that she points out Jane's easily influenced because she's an elder virgin.
Yeah.
And Jessica, she don't have that problem. So then Jessica's off. She solved the murder. She's allowed to leave London. Thank God. And but what's going to happen to her new boyfriend, Mr. Scotland Yard?
Well, thank God she found her mugger.
Yep.
And they get him.
And if he's going to see justice, if this young man is going to spend significant time in prison, get a felony record, and have his life completely ruined, well, Jessica will just have to testify at the trial. And that means that she's going to have to come back, and then who will keep her company? Why, it's Mr. Scotland Yard. Do 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 do.
And that's it.
That's the story. Get out your rubric.
Ah, jeez. All right.
Get out.
blog.wordsaboutbooks.ninja/rubric.
Is that accurate?
Some of it is.
I was going to say, just go to blog.wordsaboutbooks.ninja. The rubric is there.
All right. Where even is?
Unless you're Nate, in which case you do this every week. And I'm
just going to open up one of my blogs that has a rubric already on it. There you go. All right, Ben. Content and ideas.
Three.
It's an episode of murder she wrote. It is definitely that, but stretched out in book form.
Yeah. It's not a long book, to be honest. It's like 260 some pages. You could read it in a day if you really wanted to. But yeah, it's just an episode of Murder, She Wrote. If you've seen an episode of Murder, She Wrote, that is what you are going to get. It is not breaking new ground, nor does it need to break new ground.
Organization, Ben. Lean towards a three, but I could be talked up to a four.
Oh, talked up. I was going to say, I'm like, it's got to be a three. It's got to be a three. It's a short book.
The pacing
but
is slow.
Yeah, there's too many characters. Way too many characters.
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about the count, the Italian count.
We didn't talk about the count. We barely talked about the two publishers.
Marjorie's sister, the two publishers, the fact that the stepbrother was really not a stepbrother, and I don't know why he was even in on this scheme, and there was the wife, Renee, who's trying to point her fingers in a different direction. Three.
Yeah, I think three is solid.
Use of language.
Three. I mean, it's not trying to be a fancily written book. It is an adaptation of a television show. It is literally just
on threes what? All the way down.
Yeah, it's threes all the way down.
Yeah. I'm like, this is the most three book I have ever seen.
I'll go a little further. I'll say personal preference four. I will say four.
I went with generally positive, but failed to impress. That's why I gave it a three for personal preference, and I would say three for recommendation strength.
I would say it's a four for personal preference for me. I had fun. Silly as I find Murder, She Wrote in general, I do actually like it. It does pass the time. Now, recommendation strength. This is an easy one. I'm going to say three, as in a weak recommendation to mystery fans. Yeah. But if you are a Murder, She Wrote fan, five. It's Murder, She Wrote. Like, if you take away one thing from this review, it's that this is a successful novelization of Murder, She Wrote. I have to imagine no one was surprised by what they got when they decided to buy this book. And probably most people who are thinking about buying this book would enjoy it. So it's the rubric's not really built for this kind of recommendation where it's like, yeah, the audience knows who they are. Do I recommend other 30-something men buy this Murder, She Wrote book? No, I don't. But yeah, I think it's a solid three overall. I think I gave it what? 33, 48, 69. No, 59. I gave it 59.
I gave it 55. The most average book ever.
It was pretty average. Better. I'm gonna take a firm stance though. Better than The Giver. Better than Newbery Award-winning novel, The Giver.
Well,
why aren't we teaching this in English classes?
The problem with The Giver is it tried to have a message and utterly failed, Ben. She should have just not have done that.
Murder, She
also
Wrote.
Left out the bathing scene, you know?
No one gets bathed in... Well, no, Jessica does take a lot of baths, actually.
Yeah, but we don't have to... We don't have to have
no
someone
one
talk
scrubs
about
her.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't talk about this weird dream she had where she's just trying to convince someone to take a bath with them. You fucking weirdo. What are you doing?
Yeah. It's better than The Giver. I'll give it that. Oh, Christ.
Oh, my God. Margaritas and Murder came out later.
Yeah, this is the first Murder, She Wrote book.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I picked it.
But he stops doing the, you know, after Martinis and Mayhem, after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 books in a row with that gimmick, he stops for a while, and then, randomly, like, 16 years after the first one, he's got Margaritas and Murder.
I wonder if they're all in, like, London or something?
I don't know.
I wonder what connects them. Guess we'll just have to read more Murder, She Wrote.
Hook, Line, and Murder. A Date with Murder. Prescription for Murder. The Fine Art of Murder. Skating on Thin Ice. Oh, okay.
Percocets and Pushed Off a Cliff. I'm really working the cliff angle.
Percocet and Pushed Off a Cliff. We got to make this happen.
Heroin and Hanged by the Neck Until Dead.
Oh my God. Crack Cocaine and Cracked Brain.
Jessica Takes on the Cartel. But that's the thing. I'd read that. I'd read that in a heartbeat. Oh, all right.
Affair of the Unhappy Hooker. Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. That's
oh,
that's
God. That's just one of his other novels. It's not.
Oh, I was going to say, those are our no-no words, Donald Bain. Grandma can't hear that one.
Oh, my God. His biography is Murder, He Wrote.
I get it. Yeah. It is weird to know. Like, I noticed. I'm going to assume some genders here. I noticed it says created by and then lists three men's names as the creators of Murder, She Wrote. And I thought that was weird. But
Peter
anyway.
Fisher, Richard Levinson, and William Link. I don't see. Bane. Batman
like
villain
just,
Bane.
I don't know if he did scripts. But he did a lot of the books.
Jean-Claude Van Bane.
McBain is a thing.
McBain.
From The Simpsons. Yeah. But yeah, if you...
Steven Seagal is a piece of shit. Oh, sorry. Go on. Where
are
we?
Yes, he is. If you would like input on future episodes to either get more Murder, She Wrote or less Murder, She Wrote, you could join our Patreon. Just like some of these fine yacht plan tier patrons whom I am obligated financially to shout out. They are as follows. John Bierce, author of the Mage Errant series and The Rack. Spooky Shy, shy with a Y on TikTok.
Until it gets sold or banned. Biden just signed the law. TikTok has to sell from its Chinese owners, or...
Isekai Sensei-sama of the That Time I Got Reincarnated in the Same World as an Anime Podcaster podcast. And last but not least, Jamie the Gravy Man of the If You Want the Gravy movie blog. Also reviews books, which again...
not cool.
You will be hearing from our lawyer. But until that's resolved, he's still a patron, and I still have to shout it out. So
yeah, thank you for paying for the lawyer that we are going to be using against you. It's a real class act. We appreciate it. It's very gentlemanly.
Good night. I'm playing the real Murder, She Wrote outro music now.